The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated anonymously Refuah Shelema of Meir Ben Esther. En narefana lo, en narefana lo, en narefana lo betoch she'ar chole amu Yisrael. Amen.
Amen.
Masechet Betzah has been dedicated as well Le'ilu Nishmat Sarah Bat Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihena Began Eden. Amen. We bless our anonymous sponsor that Be'ezat Hashem he should be blessed with Arichut Yamim, health, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, and Be'ezat Hashem should be Zocher in the near future to raise a family and continue all his good work for the community. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Adam Azrak in honor of the caterer, our dear friend Mr. Uri Nadan. May he have continued success. Amen. Daf Chet. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen.
Amen.
We begin today's daf on Daf Zayin Amud Bet, and we start three lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes a line from the Mishnah, Umodim Sheim Shachat Sheyachpor Badeker V'chaseh. As of now, we learned a mahloket in the Mishnah Bet Shammai Bet Hillel regarding, is somebody permissible to slaughter an animal on Yom Tov and then subsequently make the mitzvah of Kisui Haddam? The way we understood the mahloket on the previous daf, whether it was according to Rava's interpretation or Rabbi Yosef's interpretation, the case was where somebody is coming to ask a rabbi if they are allowed to make shechita, if it's permissible l'chatahila. So we said, according to Bet Shammai, it is permissible l'chatahila to make the shechita, again, under certain circumstances, which we'll see, it is permissible l'chatahila, whereas Bet Hillel said, it is only mutar b'di'avad. But the Mishnah said that even Bet Hillel would agree that she'im shachat, that if you did slaughter, even he agrees, she'achpor b'deker v'chaseh, that you will dig with the spade and cover up the blood. So the Gemara says over here, well, Amar Rabbi Zerika, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Vehu sheyesh lo deker na'utz mebe'od yom. But the Leah is going to be lenient only in a case where the spade was thrusted into the karka mebe'od yom, from before Yom Tov. That alleviates a few problems. Number one, it alleviates the mukseh problem, because now already it was designated. It also alleviates the problem of harisha, because normally on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to go start digging in the ground. That's one of the lamitet melachot. But having the spade in the ground, now already the earth is softened already, and therefore you alleviated the problem of horesh. Now it should be noted that according to everybody, you have to alleviate this problem, which is even according to Bet Shammai, that allows you to do the chetahila, kisui had shechita, followed by kisui adam, you're going to have to make sure that the spade was in the ground first in order to alleviate the issue of horesh. However, there's still other problems that the Gemara now deals with. And the Gemara's question is, Ve'a ka'avid ketisha, which means, the Gemara is asking a question according to Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Ve'a ka'avid shechita l'Rabbi Yehuda parich de'amar v'hu sheyesh lo deker na'utz. We just learned the point to Rabbi Yehuda that why you have to have a spade in the ground already. Alma de tamad matnitin lav mishum de'ate aseh de'vichisal be'afar v'dacheh et lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Which means obviously over here we're trying to get rid of all the melachot. Because if you didn't want to get rid of the melachot, there was another option you could have used over here. We have a principle that says, aseh dohe lo ta'aseh, that a positive commandment pushes away and overrides a negative commandment. Now the positive commandment over here is, v'shafak et damo v'chisal be'afar. That's a positive commandment. The negative commandment is, lo ta'aseh melacha an yom tov. So if I were just overriding things, so I don't care what isurim I have over there. Which means I don't have to put a spade in from before yom tov. I don't care about harisha. Why? Because I can use the principle of aseh, doche, lo ta'aseh. But from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda told me that I have to have a spade in the ground from before Yom Tov, that means he's not using the principle of aseh, doche, lo ta'aseh, because he's trying to get rid of the isurim. Oh, so once you tried to get rid of the Isurim, so you got rid of Horesh. So that she could do Ela Mishum the Kvar Hafur Ve'omedu. Ve'akavid Ketisha. And then you have another problem. What about Ketisha? Ketisha is grinding. Why? Sha'adayim Regabim Medubakimim. You have the clumps of earth, they're still attached to each other, right? It's clumps. And therefore, Ve'enam Re'uim Kesui. They're not worthy for covering Ela Imken Kochan. Until you grind them. Ve'kotesh Toldat Tohenu Umelachai. Kotesh falls under the subcategory of Tohen, which is one of the Lamitet Melachot. So, what the Gemara is really asking is, Rabbi Yehuda, you take care of the problem of Horesh, but what are you going to do now with the problem of Ketisha? What are you going to do with the problem of Tohen? So the Gemara says, Amar b'chaya bar asheh, Amar rab, be'afar tichowah. We're talking about over here, loose dirt, which means the ground is loose, and therefore it's already crushed already, and therefore you have no problem of tohen. So again, let's discuss the problems we took care of so far. We took care of Horesh, and now we took care of tohen, and we took care of mukseh. So the Gemara says, be'akavid guma. Wait. What's the problem here? You're making a hole. What's the problem in making a hole? She says, "Behayav mishum binyan," which means you're constructing a hole. That's a binyan. For example, let's say this is in a house. In a house, when somebody makes a hole in his house, we learned in Masechet Shabbat, so constructing a hole is a positive action, and therefore it's a problem of boneh. If you made the hole in your field, it's a isur of Horesh. So the Tosafot has a question, says, what are you talking about? How could you be Hayav Horesh of it? We just said, we're talking about loose earth. And the Gemara Shabbat clearly told us that when you have loose earth, it's not considered Horesh, because when you move the earth, what happens is, it closes up. The hole doesn't form on loose earth. For example, if you take something out of loose earth, it just
closes up,
it caves in. So therefore, how could you tell me over here you have a problem of Horesh? So the Tosafot says, that the case is talking about, you're right, you have loose earth, but next to the loose earth you have hard earth. And therefore when you're going to take the loose earth, the hard earth around it is going to create a hole, a cavity, next to it. And therefore the Gemara is asking, where you make a horesh, or it's boneh, the problem is you're making a hole, so how you can solve that problem? So the Gemara answers, Kedrabi Abba. The following the Pevra Rabbi Abba, the Amar Rabbi Abba, החופר גומה בשבת ואינו צריך אלא לעפרה פטור עליה, which means we learned in Masechet Shabbat that if a person is digging a hole, but he doesn't need the hole, he just needs the dirt, the earth, so that's considered, we learned in Shabbat, המלאכה שאינה צריכה לגופה, that's a melacha that's not constructive, in the sense you don't need the outcome of what you're doing. You don't need the hole per se, you need the dirt. And therefore, melacha shena sidikha legufa, the Gemara says, you're actually patur in such a case. Now, it should be noted that in that case, really, it's patur aval asur. So therefore, the chaura, you didn't really solve your problem yet. You just turned it from a deoraita into a drabbanan. But the chaura still, it should be asur. So look at the top of the sheet, patur aliyah. Kedemefaresh. טעמה בפרק כמה דחגיגה דכיוון דאינו צריך אלא לעפרה והי only need the dirt ולא לגומה אינו בונה ולא חורש אלא מקלקל. This is considered already a מקלקל, וכל המקלקלים פטורים. Okay, but still, even if you want to call it a mekalkel, kol ha-mekalkelim, it's a destructive act. But peturim means patur aval, asur. So the Tosafot over here, ve'eno sirich ela le'afra patur, Tosafot says, mishum davi melacha she'ena sidika le'gufa u'patur alea ve'tema, dimkem patur aval asur le'kata'ila. What do you mean? You can do something patur aval asur le'kata'ila? Of course not. Meaning, really, it's asur medrabanan. How do they lie to? Ve'esh lomar, dimishum simchat yovtob mutar afu le'kata'ila. Wow, which means they're going to tell you, yeah, they're going to waive the Yisud Rabbanan in order to have Simchat Yom Tov. What's a Simchat Yom Tov? So you can slaughter an animal and eat it. You're right. What's the problem over here? You're digging the hole over here. Up at the hole over here is in a Sirichal Gufat, so Yisud Rabbanan. Yisud Rabbanan, we waive it because of Simchat Yom Tov. So then Tosfos says, Vim Tomar, Imken, Lamali, Dekanauts. So then already, if you're waving all these items over here, so what are you telling me that you have to put the dekan out? What do you have to put it in the ground from before? Once you tell me already the whole choresh is melachas shenasir chaligufa, so therefore the chaura dig, it's not really considered digging anymore because you don't need the hole. Choresh is for the hole, not for the dirt. So what do you have to tell me? You have to spade in. So Tosfot says, so what do we call a combine that she muchan me'ed of Yom Tov? The spade takes care of the mukseh problem. So he's by putting it in the spade in the ground, so now it's not a problem of mukseh because already you prepared it. So that's why it'll be mutar on Be'erev Yom Tov.
Everybody agrees that it's got to be.
Now, according to the Pnei Yoshua, Pnei Yoshua has a little different understanding. He says, since already we established that we're talking about Afarti Halach over here, we're talking about loose ground, crumpled ground already. So therefore, when you move crumpled ground, it's really not Boneh Deoraita. It's only Boneh but Rabbanan. Plus, after the fact that it's a melachat shenasir kaligufa, and it's really not the derech binyan, you have two items, so in two items like that, we'll be able to say that it'll be mutar lechetayla. So that's the way the Pnei Yoshua understands the opinion of Rashi. Ve'av shekan medubar ba'afar tichowach she'en derech libnot, plus the fact that it's a melachat shenasir kaligufa, therefore the ma'aseh it's mutar. So basically what Al-Gemara did, it alleviated all the potential isurim that can occur in a case of digging ground for the mitzvah of kisui adam. The last part of the Mishnah said, and we continue the Gemara, she'ef et kiram uchanu. The end of the Mishnah said, because the ashes of an oven are considered prepared. So the Gemara says, Efer Kira, Mandechar Shemeh. Who's talking about Efer Kira? As if you continue, as if, did we mention anything in the beginning of the Mishnah that you're telling me, or so you should know? Efer Kira, Mulchanu. Who's talking about Efer Kira? Amar Abba, Haki Kamar, Ve Efer Kira, Mulchanu. What the Gemara is really saying is like this, that besides the Afar, that you're able to use to make Yisui Hadam, if you had the spade thrusted into it before Yom Tov, you should also, there's another item that's considered prepared, and what is that? The ashes from the person's oven, which means a guy could go on Yom Tov and take the Efer Kira and use that for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. Even though the Torah says V'chisau be'afar, the Gemara says that Afar and Efer are interchangeable. Dirt and ashes are interchangeable, therefore it would be permissible to use Efer as well for the mitzvah. Aye, but I didn't prepare it. Doesn't matter. Efer Kira Mukhanu. Once the fire's out, the person in his mind before Yom Tov is, he's going to use the Efer for whatever necessity he needs. In this case, he needs it for the Kisui Adam, and therefore it's considered non Mukseh. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Ela Shehusak Me'erev Yom Tov. This is only talking about where the ashes were lit, which means they were set on fire, the wood was set on fire from before Yom Tov. Aval Husak Yom Tov Asur. But if they were put on fire on Yom Tov, it's going to be Asur. So again, Rashi says, Shusak Me'erev Yom Tov, if they were lit on fire from before Yom Tov, Rashi's Me'etmol Da'ateh Elave Lechol Mileh. His mind's on it already from before Yom Tov, that he's going to use it for everything. They weren't prepared from yesterday, and it just happened today. It wasn't prepared, it was going to be mukseh. However, if the ashes that were burnt today are still hot, hot enough that you could roast an egg in them, mutar. You can use them, hot ashes, you can go and put it over the blood. What's the logic? So that she says, "Ve'im ra'ul letzot bo betzah sheyesh adayin remetz ham." You still have hot ash, mutar. The me'etmol be'odam etzim. Yesterday, when there was still wood, hayu muchanim lehesek kol bashel. They were prepared for what purpose? For cooking and for fire, ve'letzlot and for roasting. Ve'odenu betashmisho zeh. And still today, it's still ra'ui for roasting, which means even if it's in the ash state, it's still ra'ui for its original intention. Because bottom line, you could put an egg in it, for example, and roast it. Now, ve'aydi dehazi lehafuche be'midi l'sliyat besah, once already it's worthy and useful for roasting an egg, shakil le'name u'manach le'al adam. Then already I say, it's not mukseh for it, it's not mukseh for it. You could take it and also put it on the dam. Which once, then we could give you an option. We're telling you like this. You can use the effort of the kira. However, it's got to be Efer that already was burned from yesterday, so your mind was on it from before Yom Tov. You know it's going to be burnt, and therefore you know you're going to have the ashes, then you're going to use it for whatever you want. However, if it's burnt on Yom Tov itself, unless it's still hot. What's the logic? Because going into Yom Tov, what was the purpose of this wood? For fire purposes, for burning purposes. Now the ashes are still serving that same function. Once you could pick it up for the sorich of roasting, already you could use it also for the sake of kisui hadam. Tanya na meachem, we have a bright to support this. Kisha amru efer kiram muchanu, lo amru ela sheusak me'erev Yom Tov. It's only talking about where it was burned from before Yom Tov. Aval usak me'yom Tov asur vim ra'uy letzot bo betza mutar. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ichnis afar leginato ulchurbato. A person brought a pile of afar into his garden or into his
wasteland.
Hurba, which they explain, is wasteland, which means obviously he has a purpose to use this afar for something. But he piled it up, let's say, in a certain area of these fields. So mutar lechasot bo. This dirt is not considered mukseh. You're allowed to use it for the mitzvah of kisui adam. What's the logic? So long as you piled it up, you really didn't designate it yet for what you're going to use it for. And therefore, you can use it for anything, as opposed to, let's say, you started to spread it around your field, then already you cannot take that off. It was designated for your field. It's part of your ground already. However, as long as it's still piled up, it's still open for any usage, and therefore that afar, that's in your gina or your hurba, can be used for the mitzvah of kisu yadam rashi ichnis afar harbe b'makom echad lesor gina to lesor churba to leshotchan b'hem, which means he's going to spread it around mutal lechasot po dechol zeman chu savu, so long as it's piled date elave lechol serachav, his intention is for all the needs. Ve'amar Rav Yehuda machnis adam melo kupato afar, a person is able to bring a basket full of afar, of dirt, into the house ve'ose ba kol surko, and he can use it also for all his needs. Now what's the difference between the first statement and the Yehuda's statement? The first statement also say you can have a pile of dirt in your field. He's coming along and say you can take a basket of dirt and put it in your corner of your house, and until you start using it, it's designated really for anything, and therefore you can use it for the mitzvah of kisui afar. So the she says, "Machnis adam belo kupato afar besetam," meaning he brought it in for stam purposes. Then not no b'mekom echad ve'oseh ba'kol serachav, you can use it for all the purposes. Ve'lo amrinan batlala legabe karka abayit aydi dizutra, because I could have argued it, since it's such a small amount of earth, maybe becomes batil to the ground. It becomes part of the karka now. Part of the karka becomes mukseh. It's part of the ground now, and therefore you cannot use it. Kamash malan, that even though it's a small amount, you can still use it until you actually start spreading it around the ground. Which means Rav Yehuda's coming to be more lenient. Not only when you have a big pile outside, but for sure it's not considered batil to the ground, you can take it and use it. It's not mukseh. Even a small amount, you'd be able to take it and use it for the mezav kisui adam. Darash morzutra mishemet de morzutra rabba vehu shiyehet lo keren Zavit. But this is only talking about where you designated this pile of dirt in your house in a specific corner. That she says, you didn't start spreading it around, which means it's designated for your usage. Right. Obviously, you took care of all the other problems. Hakana you don't have because it's designated already. You don't have a problem of kitisha because we're talking about afar that is soft, and as that matter as well, you don't have the problem of choresh, like the reasons we explained above. So therefore, it'll be mutar according to the Yehuda when you have this pile of dirt that was brought mistam into a person's house and it is designated in the corner. Metive, now the Gemara asks a question. Now, as an introduction to this question, we have to keep in mind that the mitzvah of kisui adam is dafka said by hayot. Okay, haya is a non-domesticated animal, like let's say a deer, and let's say also it was said by birds, chickens, etc. However, by a behemah, there is no mitzvah of kisui hadam. So now the question is going to be certain, specifically an animal called the koi. Okay, the koi is really a safek. It's safek haya, safek behemah. Really not certain. What species does the koi fall into? And therefore, regarding the mitzvah of kisui adam, obviously, it also falls into a safek as well. Now, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following. Koi en shochatin oto biyom tov. You're not allowed to slaughter it on Yom Tov. Now, so what's the problem? So that she says, because maybe it's a haya, and maybe it's going to be obligated in the mitzvah of kisui adam, and you're not going to be able to. Now, we're going to see why you're not going to be able to. But that's what they're saying, because we're worried that in the event that it is a haya, don't slaughter it. Because after you slaughter it, you're going to have to do kisui adam, and for some reason you're not going to be able to. The im shahato, but if you did slaughter it on Yom Tov, en mechasin edamo. Rashi says, the reason why you don't do it is because maybe it's a behemah. After you slaughtered it now, and after choshesh, maybe it's a behemah. Now, how are you going to take the afar and cover it? It's not shelo letzorech. It's not for the designated purpose. And therefore, you're not going to be allowed to. You're not allowed to pick up the afar for doing this item that's not considered a mitzvah. Now the Gemara is going to ask on this Mishnah. So let's get the Mishnah. There's a Resha of the Mishnah, and there's a Sefer of the Mishnah. What's the Resha of the Mishnah? The Resha is, En Shoatin et Akoy B'Yom Tov. The Sefer of the Mishnah is what? Ve'im Shachato, if you slaughtered it, you do not cover the blood.
Regular day, you slaughter a koi.
Correct, you slaughter your cover.
So you make Berakha.
Mm-mm. Believe it, Akhar, in Safek. Comes the Gemara and says, Ve'i'itam, if you're going to say that you have afar mukhan, which means, if you just told me to be Yehuda, that if a guy has afar in his house, in his corner, and you told me that the afar that you have in the corner of your house is non-mukseh, right? Didn't the Yehuda just tell me you have afar in your house? And that's a common case. She's the Gemara is not asking from the case of the field where a guy has a pile of dirt, because not everybody has a pile of dirt in their fields, but a pile of dirt in your house, that's a more common case. That's the way Shita Mekubetzer understands. And therefore, the Gemara is asking on the Yehuda, hey, you just told me that the afar that's in your house is not mukseh. So therefore, lechasyeh kedrav Yehuda. Why don't you cover it according to Rabbi Yehuda? Which means, you just told me that what? Kid Rabbi Yehuda, first word on Rashi, imechnis kupat afar. You told me if you brought a kupat of afar into the house, you'd be able to cover it. So why did you tell me in the Mishnah, you told me lo yishchot? Why lo yishchot? What's the problem? Tishchot, and take the afar that you have prepared from the room that you brought it in, and the cover. The Gemara is trying to say must be that that afar is also considered mukseh. That's the question. Again, you have to go with the assumption that they're assuming he has this afar in his house, and still the Mishnah is telling you what? Lo yishchot. So comes the Gemara and says, hold it. You're asking a question on me? Lechashye be'efer kira o bedeker na'utz. You have other options also that were mutar. Didn't we just say efer mukhanu? How come it doesn't say take the ashes and sprinkle it on the dam? How come it doesn't say if you had a dick and na'utz, right? A spade that was thrusted into the ground, which we also said that's permissible. So the Rebbe says, what are you picking on me for? Why are you only coming along and saying, oh, you see, you must be wrong. Because it didn't give you the option of afar. It didn't give you the option of efer mukhan either of it. It didn't give you the option of dick and na'utz. What do you have to say? Ela deletle. You know why I didn't give you the option of efer mukhan and spade? Because obviously it's talking about a guy who doesn't have these options available to him. So therefore, so too, we're talking about a case where the guy doesn't have dirt in his house. So you can't bring a question on the Yehuda from this Mishnah and say, oh, you see that? And the fact that they didn't tell you to use the dirt in your house, the dirt in your house is mukseh. I'll tell you, you don't have the dirt in the house. That's a case where a guy didn't have the dirt. And what's my proof? Because why didn't it say use Efer Mukhan? How come it didn't say use from the deck and out? Ela must be talking about a guy who doesn't have. Kimra says, so now we're talking about a case where he doesn't have any of these options. My idiya safek. Afilu vadai nameh. So then what did the Mishnah say? You should not slaughter a koi on Yom Tov. And now what are we getting the reason here? Because you're not going to have anything to cover with. You don't have efer, you don't have dekan na'ud, you don't have the afar. Why only a koi? It should say even a vadai, even a regular animal, a regular chicken, you should not be allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov because you don't have the means to cover it. So the Gemara says, "Lo v'day namelo, lo mebaya." Come on, yeah, the Mishnah is using a lo mebaya style. What is that? Lo mebaya v'day de lo lishchot, which means course, I don't have to tell you. For sure, vaday, you can't slaughter. Why can't you slaughter it? You don't have the wherewithal. You don't have the efer, the afar, and all that. That's pashut. Aval safek ema mishum simhat yovtov lishchot velo lechasyeh. I might have thought, listen, this koi over here is a safek. Listen, it could be it's a behema. Could be it's not obligated to cover it at all. So I might have said, you know what? It's lenient for some hat yom tov. Let the guy enjoy his yom tov. Maybe I tell you, slaughter the koi. Don't cover it. Lichbod yom tov. It's a safek anyway. Kamashmalan the mishnah. No, you can't even slaughter a koi that's a safek if you don't have the wherewithal to make the kisui adam. So therefore, you're right. For sure, a vadai you can't slaughter. A regular chicken, no. If you don't have the stuff prepared, the safar, vadai. The Hadush is saying even a koi you can't slaughter. Why would I think even a koi? Why does a sivar have to say a koi? Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes. Because I myself, a koi is a safik. Could be you don't have to cover it at all. So I might have said like this, you know what? The koi, slaughter it and leave it. Don't cover it. How could you not cover it? Well, anyway, you might not have to cover it. Kamashmala, no, even the koi, which is a sefek, we don't want you getting involved with it, of slaughtering it, l'chatahila, on Yom Tov. Look at Rashi, lo mevaya ka'amar, hay dinakat koi en shochatin, that would have said in the Mishnah, that the koi you cannot slaughter, kol sheken haya gemura, hata'ona kisui, vo'enu yakol rubuta shminan koi, velo mevaya vadai. Exactly like we said, kamashmala, so come to Gemara and says, well, if you go to the second part of the Mishnah, but what was the second part of the Mishnah? The im shahato en mechasim et damo. B'di'avad, if you did slaughter the koi, what does the Mishnah say? You cannot slaughter the, you cannot cover the blood. Michlal, that implies that what? So let's get the right girsa. Fine. Michlal bidi'itle askinan. This implies to us that must be we talking about over here where you have dirt. Why? Because what the Mishnah is saying over here is dafka by a koi, right? So it says, and if you slaughtered the koi, do not cover it. Now it's mashma. Only because it's a koi, we don't want you to cover it. Because a koi is a safek. But mashma, if it was a vadai, cover it. Now, when we cover it, must be talking about because you have dirt. Now look at Rashi. V'amediktani seva kilomar. Bishlama en shohatim deresha. I understand the resha en shohatim. It's tarikh kedika amart. Like you explained it to me already. Good. You told me the resha means don't slaughter the koi. I might have thought you're able to do it and don't cover it because of some hat yom tov, kamash malan, don't slaughter it. Good. Ela sefa diktani en mechasin. The sefa that says, and if you slaughter it, you don't cover. What do you mean? If you don't have any of the materials to cover, of course. Hashta vaday en mechasin safek mebaya, which is if you're telling me that on a vaday you don't cover. So you have to tell me that a safek you're going to cover? Which means when the sefa of the Mishnah said, now, what are we talking about? We're talking about both. You told me the Mishnah is talking about a vadai and a safek. You told me the Mishnah is going with a lo mebaya vadai, and it's even a koi. Good. Now we're talking about a case where you don't have any of the materials, correct? So what's the sefa mean? And if you slaughtered, meaning if you slaughtered a vadai, in mechasim. Of course, in mechasim. Why in mechasim? Because you don't have any of the stuff prepared. So do you have to tell me, and even a koi? You don't cover, of course, if you don't cover something that's vadai hayav to be covered, because you're not going to cover a koi, which is a safek. Which means the way you set up the understanding of this Mishnah, it doesn't work out in the sefa. If you learn the Mishnah, is you don't have the materials, you don't have the afar. Good? The Resha makes sense. The Resha tells you, don't slaughter a vadai, and even a safek, don't slaughter and leave it. Because I would have thought you might be able to, because it's some hat yom tov. Good. Don't do that. Reshah is perfect, but Yosefat doesn't make sense because Yosefat says Ve'im shahat en mechasim. Now, im shahat et avadai en mechasim. Okay, vadai im shahat et avadai en mechasim because you don't have the stuff prepared. And then what's the hadush by a koi? What? And even a koi, if you slaughtered it, what do you mean even a koi? Kol sheken a koi. There's no hadush in a koi. If on a vadai you don't cover, kol sheken on a sefek, you're not going to cover. Ela, you must have learned the whole Mishnah wrong. That she says, Shma mina bidi'itle. Must be talking about where you do have afar. Delegabe vadai mechasin. And therefore, the hadush of the Mishnah is like this. By a vadai, you would actually cover it. Which means, even in the Resha, you can go slaughter the chetayla on Yom Tov, a vadai, and cover it. But by a koi, which is a sefek, the sefek lo. The kashlan amai. And the question is, why not? If you have afar, and you, Rabbi Yehuda, told me the afar is not a problem of mukseh, when you have the afar in your house, there's no mukseh problem, so the chaurai should be able to store the koi, the chatayla on Yom Tov, what are you worried about? The afar? You have afar, good, just like you could, for the vadai, could you use, could you do it? Yes. So why can't you do it for the koi? Ela Rabbi Yehuda, must be there's something wrong with this afar over here. This afar must be mukseh. What's the problem? So comes the Gemara and says, Elam Rabba, Rabba gives a hadush. Efer kira mukhan levadai ve'en mukhan lesafek. Efer kira is mukhan, like we said. It's not mukseh. But it's only prepared for vadai animals. Like a pure haya. But it's not designated and prepared for a safek. Rashi, mukhan levadai ve'en mukhan lesafek. Kasal kadatach, da'achi kamar. Afagav de da'te lechol mili. Which is, even though, let's say, by the Rabbi Yehuda's case, when you brought the afar into your house, you're covering us for what? For everything. Hachnasato mu'elet levadai ve'ena mu'elet lesafek. If for some reason the guy is my family, he's not thinking about, I'm going to use it to cover the blood of a koi. And that's why the Mishnah said clearly, "En shohatin et koi biyom tov." I but anyway, have afar over there. That afar is prepared for a lot of things, but it's not prepared to cover the koi, and therefore it's going to be mukseh. So comes the Gemara says, "Lesafek mai ta'amalo." Could you tell me the reason? No. Why, if it's designated for everything, why it should be designated for the sefek? So the Gemara says, "The ka'avid guma." Oh, because you're going to tell me, yeah. Because what's going to happen when you start digging from the dirt to cover it? You're going to make a hole. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Vaday name ka'avid guma? What do you mean by the vaday case? You're also going to make a guma? So that cannot be the reason." And what did we answer by the vaday case? Ela kederbi abba. Didn't we answer already the Guma question like Rabbi Abba? Melachashen asiricha legufa. The case is talking about where you don't need the hole, you need the dirt, and therefore it's not a problem. How can I make it Rabbi Abba? So too by the case of the Sefek, Guma is not the problem. I'll say it's talking about a case where you don't need the hole, you're just doing it for the dirt. So back to the question, why are you telling me that the Efer or the Afar is not prepared for a Sefek? Kabbalah Ela Sefek Maitama says, Dilma Avid Kitisha. Oh, we're worried that it's going to be clumps. And when you're going to take it and you're going to make the kisui, you're going to loosen it up, and that's a problem of kitisha, which is a problem of tohen. Kabbalah says, Vadai namin nixur mishum kitisha. What do you mean? That's the same problem of Vadai also. That's not a Sefek issue, the same problem as a Vadai. Vadai ki ka'avit ketisha ate ase vedahe et lo ta'ase. Oh, the Gemara answers now an answer. Now I'll tell you, you have ketisha, but when you're doing kisui hadam by a vadai, you have a mitzvah d'oraita here. The chisau be'afar. The mitzvah ta'ase is going to dohe the ketisha. However, on a safik, there's no mitzvah ta'aseh. A safik mitzvah ta'aseh is not going to dohe ketisha. So you hear what the Gemara is saying at this point? At this point, the Gemara is saying the whole reason why the Mishnah said that a koi, you're not allowed to make the kisui hadam, or better, you're not allowed to slaughter it, because we don't want you to make the kisui hadam. What do you mean? I have the afar is mukhan. Got a problem here. Your problem is when you're going to make the kisui adam, you're going to be over on kitisha. Hey, when I do the vaday, I'm also going to be over on kitisha. No, but the vaday, it's aser dochelo taaseh. Taaseh of v'chisal be'afar is over, is overrides the lo taaseh of lo taaseh menakah. But by a sefek, there's no aser. It's a safek aser. In safek aser dohe lo taaseh. Comes to Gemara, says, hold it. You're learning aser dohe lo taaseh incorrectly. What's the source of aser dohe lo taaseh? We have two sources. The source is mila b'tzara'at and sha'atnez by sisit. Let's review those two cases. Torah says a child has on his brit mila atzara'at. Torah says, shamir b'neg atzara'at. You're not about to cut a tzara'at off. Now the mila, right where the mila is, there's a tzara'at. Halakha says, the moya is able to do the brit mila even though he's going to take off the tzara'at. Why? Because mitzvah ta'aseh of mila is the head of ta'aseh of hishamir b'neg atzara'at. Another case is sisit. Let's say you have a sisit that's made out of linen. The Torah says you have a beged that's made out of linen, and now you want to put on it petil techelet, right? The Torah says you have to put techelet, a blue string. The blue string is made out of wool. You're going to put the blue string, it's going to be shatnez. You have a wool garment, a linen garment with a wool string. Torah says mutar, aseh is dohe lo taseh. Shatnez is a lo taseh. The mitzvah of sisit is naseh. Now, what is common in those two examples of aseh lo dohe lo taseh? At the time that you're doing the aseh, you push away the lo taseh, which means at the time that I'm doing the milah, so the lo taseh is going away at the time that the milah is being performed, which means when I'm putting the sisit on the garment, so the sisit, putting it on, so at that time I'm doing the aseh, I'm pushing away the lo taseh. Masha'enkin, in the case of the kisui adam, I'm picking up the dirt over here and I'm crushing it. The crushing happens in my hand, and then after I go and I make the kisui adam. So the Gemara is saying, even in a vaday, you can't use aseh dohe lo taseh. The Gemara says, imar de amrinan ate aseh vedahet lo taseh kegon mila besara'at inameh sadin besisit de be'irna de kameakelav. At the time that you're uprooting the lo taseh, kamukim naaseh, you're fulfilling the aseh. Hacha be'irna de kameakelav, or over here when you're doing the lav of crushing the dirt, lo mokim aseh, you're not fulfilling the aseh. So go back to the question of how you answer me, by a vaday, I don't care if it's not crushed. Aseh dohe lo taseh. Oh no, you don't say aseh dohe lo taseh. The Gemara says, that's your question? Hala kasha. I can tell you the case is where you slaughtered the animal right next to the afar, and therefore you're picking up the clumps and right over it you're crushing it and it's going right on the afar. So therefore it is aseh dohe lo taseh. Also very good. And now we understand why that's not an option by a koi. Because by a koi, you don't have the luxury to say aseh dohe lo taseh, because it's safek aseh. Safek behema, safek kaya. So according to this, this is the answer. Comes the Gemara and says, sof sof, yom tov aseh velo taseh. Hold it. The answer is still not a good answer. Because yom tov is not only a lo taseh, but Yom Tov, lo ta'aseh melacha, but Yom Tov is also a positive commandment. What's the positive commandment? The Torah also says, Bayom HaRishon Shabbaton. Shabbaton means rest, but in a positive way. Now the rule is, Ve'en aseh dohe et lo ta'aseh ve'aseh. Which we have a rule, aseh dohe lo ta'aseh. But en aseh dohe lo ta'aseh ve'aseh. And therefore, we're back to the question. Don't answer me that the case is talking about, we're talking about clumps of dirt. Because clumps of dirt is going to be asur on a vaday case as well as a safek case. So therefore, we're back to the question. Why did it say in the Mishnah that by a koi and shahatin? Why dafka the koi? The chaura, even if on a vaday case, if you have clumps, the chaura should not be able to shahat, because you don't say endo en aseh do chelot aseh ve aseh. So the Gemara says, Ela marava, efer kira da'to levadai ve en da'to le safek. Really, the Mefarshim take out the word Ela, because it's not a new answer. It's just going to explain the answer that we just said when we say that the afar is prepared for vadais, but it's not prepared for sefix. Why not? We didn't explain that. So it says, why now? Be'az da Rava le'tamir. Rava's following his reasonings. The Amar Rava, Rava said, Hechnis afar lechasot bo so'a. A person, let's say, went from before Yom Tov, and he brought afar into his house with the kavanah to cover up excrement. Let's say there's a baby in the house, and he's worried that the baby's going to dirty up a place where the people are going to be, and they don't want to have the tso'ah exposed the whole time. So his kavanah is that this afar of his is going to be used to cover the tso'ah. Now, it should be noted, this is a non-definite action, meaning event. It's not definite that it's going to happen. It might happen. So the guy's taking the afar in, you know, on a sefik that this might happen, but he has kavanah, he's going to use it. So he says, if your kavanah was for so'ah, which is considered a maybe, yeah, maybe not event, mutar lechasot bo dam sipor. For sure you can use it for a definite event. The guy knows on Yom Tov he's going to slaughter chickens. And he knows he's going to have the mitzvah of kisu yada. So therefore if you took it in for the sefek item that was in your mind, certainly you'd be able to use it for the vadai item, which is kisuya dam. However, the opposite is not true. Dam sipor asu lechasot bo so'ah. If you took it in for the dam sipor, your mind's, I'm using it for the vadai item covering the blood. Now this item, the tso'ah, came into the guy's house from the kid. Your mind wasn't on it. Once your mind is on the vadai, according to Rava, we say it doesn't make it non-mukseh for the safik case. Good, that's the shita of Rava. Now let's go further. Nehar belai amre. Who's Nehar belai? So that she actually tells us who that is. Sanhedrin, they explain it. It's Rami Bar Birbi. Okay? Now let's read the Rashi before that. Look at Rashi. Hechnis afar lechasot bo so'ah. Just to get clarity. See that? It's two lines before, three lines before it gets wide. Hechnis afar lechasot bo so'ah biyom tov. Sheyesh lo tinok v'yare shem yatil re'i biyom tov lefanav. Mutar lechasot dam sipor sheyesh lo leshchot biyom tov dekevan chizmino lesefek koshekene vadai. Asu lechasot po so'ah, but the opposite is not true. Im yesh lo tinok katan v'etil so'ah biyom tov. My tama, what's the reason? Dam sipor vadai hayalo sheyishchatenu v'yesari kisui. For sure you're going to slaughter and you need to do the mitzvah of kisui. Avalot sa'ah, I'm sorry, had so'ah, the so'ah safeku im ye'irab b'mkoma ma'usto. It's safek if it's going to happen in a place that's disgusting to him. V'da'ato levadai v'lo lesafek. So again, if your mind is on a vadai, it's not on the safek. If it's on the safek, koshekin di vadai. That's Rabba's din. Now, nehar belai say, amre, afilu echnis afar, lechasot bo dam sipor, mutar lechasot bo so'ah. When nehar belai comes along and says, even if you took the item in for the vadai, you can use it for the sefik. Okay, they don't make a halakha. Once it's not mukseh, your mind is on it for something, you can use it for anything. Now the Gemara explains. Amri b'ma'arava, in the West. Peligi b'arabi Yosef b'arhamah v'arabi zira v'amri l'arabah b'redrav Yosef b'arhamah v'arabi zira hadamar. Now, one rabbi explained like this. Koi harehu ketso'ah. A koi has the same status of a tso'ah. Just like tso'ah is considered a sefik item, so koi is also considered sefik, meaning if a guy took afar with kavanah to cover tso'ah, he would also be able to cover the koi. The had amar koi eno kitso'ah. One says, no, the koi is not considered like tso'ah, meaning tso'ah is considered a vadai, and the koi would be considered like a sefik. Now, according to this opinion over here, if a guy took the afar, let's say he took the afar for tso'ah. Tso'ah in relation to koi, the tso'ah is considered like a vadai, and therefore, if you took it in for the tso'ah, you would not be able to cover the koi. So that's the, again, the Gemara is trying to explain that the machloket that we just brought between Rabbah and the Harbelai right? Regarding if you took a safek and you put it for a vadai, now they're trying to explain that according to those opinions, su'a was a safek.
Yeah, right.
That's clear. Now the question is, how do you look at a koi? So the Gemara wants to say that one rabbi says koi is like su'a. Koi is like su'a safek. Nafka mina. You took afar in for su'a, you can use it for you took. Oh, that's a vadai.
Right.
That's a vadai. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Fourth line. 1, 2, 3, fourth line. Koi hareu kitsoa. Hamachnis afar lechasot po soa. A guy brings the afar in order to cover soa. Mutar lechasot po dam koi. Why? Dezeu is a safek. Vehad amar eno kitsoa. Vamachnis afar lechasot soa. Asu lechasot po dam koi. Koi legabe soa kesafek legabe vadai. The soat tinok shkiha vekroba levadai. Between soa and the relationship to a koi, exactly. Relationship to the koi, one is considered vadai and one is considered safek. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, let us conclude. De rabba, that it's rabba, hu de amar koi areu ketsoa. Why would I conclude that Rabbah is that rabbi? De amar Rava, hechnis afar lechasot bo soa, mutar lechasot bo dam sipor. Right? Dam sipor asur lechasot bo soa tistayim. Which means I can prove from Rava. How do I prove from Rava? Look at Rashi. De amar Rava, hechnis afar. A guy brought an afar at his house. Lechasot bo soa to cover. Tzua, mutar lechasot bo dam sipur. Because the tzua is considered a safek, compared to the dam sipur is considered a vadai. Dam sipur asur lechasot bo tzua. However, if you took the dam sipur, which is a vadai, you cannot cover the tzua alma safek. So what do you see over here? You see that tzua is considered a safek. We're trying to prove who's the opinion that says tzua is a safek. Obviously, it's Rava. So now we have an answer to our original question. We asked, why did the Mishnah say over there that you cannot slaughter a koi on Yom Tov? Why can I slaughter the koi on Yom Tov? Because you're not going to be able to cover it. Why can't I cover it? I have afar in the house. Rabbi Yehuda, you told me that this afar in the house is not considered mukseh. It's mukseh for the gabeh, the koi. It's not prepared for vadai. But it's prepared for the vadai, but it's not prepared for the safek. Where do you see this shita over here? So we see a shita over here, like Rabbah. Rabbah says over here that a koi has a din of a safek, right? Has a din of a safek, and therefore you're right. Legabe for Rabbah, you'd be able to take the afar over here and take it and use it for tzu'ah. You'd be able to use it for the koi as well. However, according to the other shita that says that tzua is considered a vadai legabe the koi, so therefore if you were miyahedit for tzua, you would not be able to use it for the koi. And that's why the Mishnah says that if you cannot slaughter a koi on Yom Tov, because the afar is not going to be prepared for a safek, which is something that's right.
We prefer the koi for safek.
Why the Rava Shita? Because Rava says if it's prepared for a vadai, it's not going to be prepared for a safek. So you have to say that what? That this afar was prepared for what? For something of a vadai status. In dam sipor, that he was going to do. The conclusion of this answer of the Gemara, that when the Mishnah said that a koi you cannot store on Yom Tov, is because the afar that you had was mukhan, but it was mukhan for a vadai, and something that's prepared for a vadai is not prepared for a safek, like shitat rabah, and therefore, let's say it was prepared for dam sipor, which is a vadai, you cannot now use it for a koi, which is a safek. That's why the Mishnah says, don't slaughter lechatahila, because you're going to put yourself in a position where you can have a problem now, legabedi kisui. Comes the Gemara now and gives another answer. Comes the Gemara and says, Rame bere derav yeba amar koi hainu tama delo mechasina. No reason. You know why you don't cover the blood of the koi on Yom Tov? Or you know why you don't slaughter it? Gezera Mishum Hatarat Helbo. Let's discuss the law of Helif. That's the fat of the animals. Torah is Matir certain Helif. For example, Helif Haya is Mutar. Helif Behema Asur. Ba'akhila. Okay, that's a rule. Helif Behema Asur Ba'akhila. Helif Haya Mutar. Now, it's not called Helif. The Helif of a Haya is really called Shuman. Shuman is permissible Helif. When it's Asur, we call it Helif. When it's permissible, we call it Shuman. Good. Now, what's going to happen? If I'm going to tell a guy on Yom Tov, slaughter the animal, slaughter the koi, you have your afar over here. We're talking about afar that's not mukse, efer kira, mukhanu, kot rabbi yuda, you designated it, no problem. We're going with a new answer now. So mukse is not your issue. Your issue is not ketisha, because I'll tell you already it was loose. Your problem is not choresh or boneh, because you took care of all those problems as well, like we learned above. Melakash and asenik al-gufa, etc. What's my only problem here then? My problem is a gezerah. Because if you're going to tell the guy, slaughter it, make the kisui adam, the guy's going to say, oh, this is probably definitely a haya. And therefore, if it's definitely a haya, the halev is going to be mutar. Now really, it's a safek. This halev over here might be halev of a behema. So by not allowing him on Yom Tov to slaughter it, it'll put in the guy's brain, must be there's a controversy with this animal, and therefore he'll know not to get involved with the halev of it and not eat it. So the Gemara's wait, if that's your problem, afilu bechol nameh. If that's the case, even during the week you shouldn't slaughter a koi. Which means the rabbi should tell you, you can never slaughter a koi, because you're going to make kisui adam on it. Right? Once you make kisui adam on it, it's a haya, because only hayot hayav on kisui adam, you're going to come to eat the chaylev. So the Gemara, behol, regarding the hol, amre, the people are going to say, lenaker chatzero hu tzarich. Which means when the people see a guy, forget about the guy himself, when the people see a guy slaughtering a koi during the week, and they see him covering the blood, no one's going to think he's doing kisui hadam. They say, why is he covering the blood? Hygiene. He wants to cover the blood because he doesn't want to have a blood in the middle of his field. And therefore, we're not going to suspect that the inyan is a haya. Now, on Yom Tov, however, really, you're not allowed to do unnecessary work. So therefore, if they see a guy slaughter a koi on Yom Tov, and they know that you're not allowed to do unnecessary exertion on Yom Tov, and all of a sudden they see the guy taking the dirt and covering it, they're saying, oh, he's covering it, must be because it's badai haya. Oh, haya must be the halev is permissible. So the Gemara says, wait, shahat be'ashpa mai. Well, what about a guy during the week that what about a guy that slaughters the koi next to a garbage dump during the week? Now there, when they see him covering over there, no one's going to say he's doing it for cleanliness. And therefore, I have a question on your theory. According to your theory, during the week, if a guy slaughters it in a garbage dump, it should be a problem, it should be asur. Why? Because the people are going to see him making the kisur, they're going to think it's vadaya haya, and they're going to come to eat the haylev. Secondly, bali malech ma'ika lememar. A guy's going to come to ask a question. Let's say the guy himself, forget about somebody watching, the guy himself comes to ask a she'elah during the week. Rabbi, I have a koi over here. Do I cover the blood? What is he going to tell you? Yes. Now you're going to walk away and say, oh, cover the blood because it's a haya. Haya, therefore I can eat the halev. So therefore we're back to the question. There are still cases during the week where a person can get the wrong impression that what? That it's a haya, therefore he's going to come to eat the halib. Ela behol, iname mesafka, amri le rabbanan, zil trach vechaseb. The guy's going to say like this, you know what, just because he told me to cover it on the weekday is no proof of anything. Because during the week, since there's no isud against unnecessary exertion, so therefore when the rabbi tells him, go cover it, hey, it's a safek. You just tell me to cover because you don't lose anything. the guy in the garbage dump. He's going to see him putting, covering it in the garbage dump. He's going to say, you know what? He's covering it because it's a safik. Why is he covering it? Maybe it's hayav, maybe it's not hayav. He's doing a safik. And you know what? During the week, no problem to do unnecessary exertion. However, and therefore he's going to know that what? It's a safik, therefore he's not going to come to eat. It's halev. Biyom tov. But when he sees on Yom Tov a guy come along and take the dirt and cover it, he's going to say, if this guy's covering it, the rabbis wouldn't allow him to cover it unless it was a vadai, because it would be unnecessary exertion. So therefore on Yom Tov, when the guy sees somebody covering it, that's going to put in his brain that it must be a vadai, and therefore he's going to come to eat its fat. So according to this answer, you get what I was saying? When the Mishnah said you can't slaughter a koi on Yom Tov, why? Because you're not going to be able to cover the dirt. Why can't you cover the dirt? Because it's unnecessary exertion. And what's the reason why the rabbis put that isu? Say, safek, cover the dirt, safek doraita. No, because we're concerned if you're going to cover the dirt, it's going to lead to a misimpression that the people are going to think that what? That it's vadaya haya. Right? And if it's vadaya haya, they're going to come to eat the halev. New reason. So it comes out so far, we have two reasons. Either the afar is not prepared for a safek, or even if you want to say the afar is prepared for the safek, it's a gezerah that if they see you covering it on Yom Tov, you might come to mistakenly think that the halev is permissible, and you might come to eat it. Good? Comes again, Gemara says, last point. Tani Rabbi Zera, lo koi bilvad amru. You should know when that Mishnah said that you can't slaughter a koi on Yom Tov, it wasn't only a koi. Ela afilu shachat behema haya ba'of. Let's say you slaughtered behema, which is patur, from kisuy adam, with hayan and off, which is hayav. Vinitarebu damam ze baze. Now all the bloods got mixed together. Asur lechasoto biyom tov. It's asur to cover any of them on Yom Tov. Now look at Rashi. Lo koy bevad amru deem mechasim biyom tov. De dinu shelo yechaseu shema behemai v'terach terchad elav mitzvah. I understand why you tell me the koi I can't do it according to the last answer, because you're doing an unnecessary tirha. Because on the side that the koi is a behema, this is unnecessary exertion. The hidush is in afilu shahat, where you have one of them that's hayav. Here in the mixture, there's definitely an item of hayav that's definitely hayav. The ikahad the ta'in kisuy afilu acheh. Because by covering all of it, you're also involving yourself in the behemah blood, which is not a sefik, and therefore that would be considered unnecessary exertion. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara qualifies. Amar Rabbi Yose Bar Ya'asini'a Lo shanu e'la she'en yachon nechasot b'dikira ahat. That's only talking where you would not be able to cover the blood in one shovel. Which means if you can cover it in one shovel, so therefore you're not doing any extra exertion. Because bottom line, you're going to have to do one shovel at least anyway. Right? For the haya. So when I do one shovel, I can cover everything. So therefore, I cover the whole behemah also. But by covering the behemah, what, did I exert myself extra? No. So therefore, if you can do everything in one shot, no problem. So the Gemara says Peshita. What do you mean? Of course, if you can do it in one shot, there's no Tera'ah Yetera. Ma udetema nigzor dekira ahat atu shte dekirot. I might come along and say, hey, let the guy do one. He might come along now and do two. Therefore, kamash ma'alan, that what? If it's one dekirat mutar. Let's read Rashi. Gemara says, Peshita, ta'alot tarach b'shvim be'mamidi. You're not doing any tira. Kama shmalan, that you're allowed, and we're not going to make a gizah. So again, comes out according to this last answer, a koi is going to be asur, as well as behema mixture haya blood is also going to be asur to cover it on Yom Tov, unless you could do it in the minimum tira of one shot.